Nuclear officials in Japan are considering asking the U.S. and Japanese military to begin dumping water from helicopters into that fuel storage pond at the Fukushima power plant. The fire in the pool earlier today is out, but it's so hot workers can't get near it to replenish the water. We'll have more on Japan's nuclear power crisis in just a few minutes, but first, voices from Japan, people we were able to reach. As you'll hear, the news didn't stop just because they were on the phone. Joseph Tame is a blogger. He's British. He lives in Tokyo with his wife. We reached him earlier today and tried to ask him about a trip he'd just made to a nuclear evacuation site in northern Japan.
That's right. It took us about 7 hours to get back today. Normally the journey would be a lot quicker, but essentially I was up there accompanying a journalist, and we went to a place called...
Koryama.
An earthquake's just struck right now, so I was a little unnerved.
Oh.
The house shaking rather a lot.
Well, no, are you sure you should be speaking to us?
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's just a small aftershock. Not too strong at all, but it's just a little bit unnerving when you have these concrete walls around you shaking.
So, as long as you want to talk to us, we'll just continue. You went to Koryama. Where is that in relation to Sendai?
Okay, so Koryama is a little bit south of Sendai. Basically, it was about 100 kilometers to the nuclear site, to the nuclear power stations.
Yeah.
And that's where they have one of the major centers for people being evacuated from the area around the nuclear power stations. So we went to their headquarters, to the command center. And there they have one section where they have people with Geiger counters basically checking people for radiation. So those who are suspected of being exposed to radiation go there, they're checked over. If they do turn out test positive, then they're washed down, their clothes are thrown away. If there's any serious case of contamination, then they're taken to an isolation unit.
We've seen pictures of these isolation units, people, you know, family members standing on one side looking through a little window at their relatives who have been isolated in this room until the radiation passes.
Sorry, I think we're going to just have to get out of the house for a minute.
Oh, boy.
Shaking rather a lot. Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh. What do you want us to do?
Well, let's stay on the line. Down the line.
Okay, you're going to walk with the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right.
Well, yeah, I've been in one or two myself, and I just know that it's scary.
Yeah. All right. Okay, I think that's...
How often do these aftershocks come?
Quite often. We're probably having at least one an hour. They're quite frequent, so I must admit, I've grown so used to them in a way, sometimes... It feels a bit strange when the floor isn't shaking.
Isn't that something? Well, you were telling us about these people. If you don't mind, we'll just continue talking.
Right.
So you were up in the north and you were watching people be tested. How many people did seem to have higher levels of radiation? Could you tell?
Yes, I can tell you. We just turned the TV on to see where the epicenter of the quake was. Hey, no, really? Hey, we ought to phone Emmy and Russ. Sorry. Can I call you back? So we've just turned the TV on to see where the epicenter of the earthquake is.
Yeah.
And it's different from all the other ones until now. This one is southwest of Tokyo. Southwest, it was a 6 in the southwest of Tokyo.
Oh boy.
To the southwest. So that's quite big. And I've got friends who live in a house which is very... unstable, so I'm going to give them a call and make sure they're okay, and I'll call you back in a bit, okay?
Yes. Thank you. Please take care. Thank you.
All right, will do. Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.
So there you have it, Joseph Tame earlier today in Tokyo, and he was right. While there was a 6.2 aftershock in Tokyo today, emanating from the same area where the quake hit last Friday, 3 minutes later, while we were talking, there was a 6.0 quake in Shizuoka Prefecture. That's about 55 miles southwest of Tokyo. We'll link you to Joseph's blog at hereandnow.org if you want to follow all this. But now let's bring in Jonathan Levine Ogura. He's an American from New Jersey who lives in Japan with his wife and two kids in Hanamaki. That's about 100 miles north of Sendai, sort of at the epicenter, but, you know, so far north, relatively unscathed by the tsunami. But, Jonathan, you say people are being evacuated to your town from the worst-hit regions. And since supply lines are cut to your town's running out of things?
We have run out of gasoline and kerosene, and lifelines are thin, and there are food shortages.
So what does that mean? I mean, when you go to the store, do you have to get in a line? What's happening?
When I go to the store, there are no lines anymore. There's no food.
So what are you going to do? I mean, especially since, as you say, your town may not have been the most affected, but all the resources are going to the towns that are, and you're cut off.
Yes. The government has implemented a plan to move goods and necessary lifelines from the Sea of Japan side of Japan, you know, on the western side, from west to east. The logistics of transportation is being completely changed right now, being redirected.
Do you feel confident of that? I mean, you know, when you say there's no more food in the stores, you know, some people might panic. How are you feeling about that?
I'm not panicking because the Japanese people aren't panicking.
Yeah.
I mean, they're rationing gas for 10 liters per car, and people just line up for hours and hours on end, and the last person who gets gas and the next person who thinks he's going to get gas, they're just told calmly, listen, you won't be getting your 10 liters now. Please find another place. And no one has, I have not seen anyone riot, hoard, or get angry. It's stoicism. It really is. I've got two kids of my own. When they grow up, are they going to be the same way, or are they going to have a little bit of that Americanism in them? It's the culture. And I went to work today, and even one of my coworkers, another foreigner who's married to a Japanese, he lost his grandmother-in-law. His in-laws are from this little town called Otsuchi. It's a fishing village. And the house survived. The wave had basically pushed dozens of cars around the house and actually created a berm or like a beaver dam. So the house stayed. I mean, in other words, the water went through the first floor. But the house stayed. However, the grandmother, who was waiting outside to get picked up, got swept away, and she was seen being swept away.
Oh, terrible. And he's at work.
He's at work. He came to work today. There's nothing left. There's nothing to do. There's nothing there. You cannot be there. I mean, there's nothing there.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Jonathan Levine Ogura, an American living in northern Japan.